listening to Female VC Lab, a podcast that showcases the journeys of female investors. My name is Barbara Bickham, and I am an award-winning CTO and VC that teaches companies and investors about emerging technology. I am sitting down with female VCs and investors to talk about their funds, how they invest, and how they make an impact. Welcome to the Female VC Lab podcast. I have Mary here. Mary, in one line, give me your name, your title, and the name of your fund.
Thank you so much for having me. My name is Mary King. I'm a vice president at the Aligned Climate Fund, which is the venture strategy of Aligned Climate Capital.
Wonderful. So what inspired you to become a venture capitalist or investor?
I went to a school, an undergrad that did co-ops. And my middle co-op was at a venture debt firm out in the Bay Area called Hercules Capital. And I had a really great mentor there. Yeah. And who really encouraged me to explore the clean tech space, explore the venture space. So he introduced me to it, actually.
Tell me a little bit about your thesis and the motivation behind the thesis.
Aligned's thesis is to accelerate the clean energy transition by investing in, as an overarching firm, the assets and the companies that are decarbonizing our infrastructure. So we separately have a team that buys solar and battery storage assets. But I sit on the venture side where we invest in seed to series B companies that have a proven solution in either clean energy, efficient, resilient infrastructure, electric transport, or sustainable land use that can make a difference in climate, either mitigation, adaptation, resilience today. We are on our sophomore fund, so $85 million in the current fund.
Congratulations.
That's 15 investments to date. Yeah, it's great. It's great to be out of Fund One territory.
Yes. Tell me a little bit about how you see, you talked about solar assets. How do you see geothermal or nuclear or any of those types of energy sources playing into your thesis?
You set me up too well for that.
Sorry.
I love it. So we actually have done both intermittent and baseload clean energy investments. So we have done investments in solar and battery storage companies. We recently did an investment in a geothermal company called XGS. So large-scale, closed-loop geothermal projects. And I think, as is very popular to say nowadays, we believe in many kinds of energy solutions, including both intermittent renewables as well as clean, firm baseload power, like geothermal. On a personal level, I appreciate the nuclear market. I think the nuclear market will likely be massive, and there are a lot of really exciting innovations in that space. It's a bit out of our mandate, so we are not spending time there, but a lot to do in geothermal.
There's a lot in geothermal. And then what about, have you guys looked at plastics or things of that nature and generate energy?
Yeah, we've looked at a number of different companies in the waste-to-fuel space.
Yes.
We have not made an investment there yet.
Okay.
And I don't think that's a reflection of that industry per se. I think it's just a little bit challenging for us to get there. There have been a number of reasons. Sometimes it's too capital intensive for our check sizes. We're really generally 2 to 6 million first check-in investments. But sometimes it's also breakthrough or super novel technology that we're not in a place to diligence.
Some of it's really early.
So it's very early. You need the PhDs on the team to diligence that kind of thing. We're the next step after that once you've commercialized a bit.
What are you currently learning or listening to or reading these days?
So learning about power electronics a lot right now. There are a lot of solutions that can increase capacity and improve resiliency in power electronics that utilities actually are incentivized to adopt. So we're doing a lot of thinking there, seeing some very interesting companies. we made a, like I said, geothermal for power investment.
Yes.
But we are looking also at geothermal for heating and cooling. It's a different application of geothermal technology.
But it makes sense.
Exactly. And so much smaller scale deployments, generally more commercialized technologies. So we're looking at that. And then just generally, we are always digging into anything that we either believe will soon or already does have attractive unit economics for any kind of distributed decarbonization solution. So
that's interesting.
We recently did an investment in a company called CarbonQuest, which is a point source carbon capture company. And I think what's really exciting there is you can deploy point source carbon capture instead of on these 400,000 tons or in addition to in these 400,000 ton per year systems.
Yeah, you can distribute it out across.
Exactly.
That's actually smart. Because it gives them more resiliency. You talk about resilience, right? To have things distributed, it does have more resilience. And it also helps more people that way as well. Like you can also touch more people. So that's
completely. So if you have affordable housing with combined heat and power, like cogen facility on-site or nearby, you can deploy point source carbon capture on that. Yeah. And that's really impactful.
Yeah. And then you could distribute it out because then maybe you don't have a full, like maybe you don't have a traditional grid. You have almost like a mesh, for lack of a better word. And then you can put those points out. And then it covers more. And then you're actually safer because if one part goes down, your whole thing doesn't go down.
Exactly. So it's great for these kind of distributed energy sources that aren't always clean, but are long-lived infrastructure that is needed and provides lower cost power. And we separately, actually, to your point, have a renewable off-grid microgrid company that has these microgrids made out of solar and battery storage and a bit of backup propane, but primarily solar and battery storage that are a key resilience tool and decrease distribution upgrade costs.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's really evolving. In the clean tech area, it was really evolving. There's a lot happening in that area to reimagine how do we use power? What is power? What is energy? How should we really be thinking about this? It can all be used in combination and conjunction, right? And then how do we slowly move off into a way of life?
The founders in this space are just amazing in their ability to look at these hundreds of global
problems too. It's not just in the United States. Like these are massive global problems.
Completely. And then just rethink them from the ground up. You said, like, how do we use power? Where do we get it? All of these issues. You'll find these what seem to be really niche solutions, and then you see it's a $10 billion market size to solve it.
That's great. All right, Mary, here's the bonus question. Everyone gets it. In 2 years, how do you see venture capital having changed or evolved?
I'm going to answer separately for general venture capital and climate venture capital.
Okay, fair. Go for it.
For general venture capital, I think we're going to see a massive improvement, including climate, in the pace that transactions can be diligenced, because so much of the time that creates almost like a
slowness, it's like a friction. It's like there's like a resistance there at some level. It's, we gotta do this. Diligence.
Right, like a synthetic bandwidth constraint.
Yes, I like that.
I think once we are able to use AI tools as effectively as they will be able to be used in the next couple of years for diligence, I think we'll be able to see a lot more companies move through VC pipelines much faster. And so hopefully more deals are getting done and more thoughtful diligence is being done.
Yeah.
So hopefully that helps companies a bit. Climate specific, I'm really excited because Align strategy is really watch technologies as they come down. We call it the risk curve. It could be the cost curve, science.
Exactly. Whatever you're looking at for that risk curve,
exactly. Whatever the risk is of that company, as it comes down, then they become venturable investments at different stages for different funds. And I think we're going to see more technologies come down that risk and cost curve faster. Hot areas will shift like they always do.
Everything does. But you know what? I think your point about the AI diligence can help with that as well, right? As you're diligencing companies, it could almost be an automated thing at some levels. And based on what your portfolio is, you can start also spotting trends out of that information if it's almost going to be like an automatic diligence, even if you're not going to do the initial investment. They could get some preliminary feedback and then it's, oh, this is interesting. And you start seeing patterns, and that's going to make it very interesting.
Completely. And there will be so much more data. We're already seeing it available from companies to be able to make decisions.
100%.
Very excited for it.
Wonderful. So how do people contact you?
I think LinkedIn is the best. And to that, to your question earlier that I skipped on what am I reading, I do read my LinkedIn DMs.
That may be interesting and not interesting, depending on what kind
of depending on what's coming through. But yeah, reach out on LinkedIn, send me a message. I always read those and do my absolute best to respond. That's the best place to reach me.
Wonderful. So thank you so much, Mary King from Aligned Climate Fund, number 2, which is awesome.
Thank you so much
for being my guest on the Female VC Lab podcast.
Thanks for having me, Barbara. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. This episode is brought to you by Trail and Ventures. Find and invest in the next billion-dollar emerging tech company. Sign up for our exclusive content at https://trailyn.com to find out more. Find us on Apple, on Spotify, and on Google Podcasts. Thank you for listening.